They are some of the world's most notorious serial killers.
He was like a god when he had a corpse as his plaything.
But were these psychopaths born evil, or did their mothers make them into monsters?
I'm Donald McIntyre, and I'm on a quest to explore how some of history's most horrific murderers were molded by their dysfunctional relationships with their mothers.
When it comes to people who are pathological, psychopathic, the influence of the mother is absolutely dominant.
I'll be piecing together events in their childhoods and talking to criminologists and psychologists to try to understand what motivated their monstrous crimes.
We never come across a serial killer who'd killed that many people.
In this program, the Frankenstein of Bytom, the Polish serial sex killer, Joachim Kinahawa.
His mother and grandmother took a child, mistreated that child and abused that child to the point that they've created the hallmarks of a monster.
In an 8-year reign of terror, he murdered 5 women and brutalized another 7 who survived his savage axe attacks. Are serial killers born or made? Can our environment, our childhood, create a killer? Or is there something inherent within us all, within our psyche, where the potential for murder always lurks?
Bytom in southeastern Poland was the stage for a series of brutal murders of women over an 8-year period during the 1970s. They were the grisly work of one of Poland's most vicious sexual serial killers, Joachim Kinahawa.
Zimny, wyrachowany drań, który polował.
Kinahawa delighted in sexually defiling the women's bodies after death. No shred of dignity was left.
Wala seksualnie, manipulacja w rejonie, obnażanie zwłok i manipulacja w rejonie narządów wrodnych.
It would be 8 years before he's finally tracked down, but not before he brutally murders 5 women and attempts to kill and mutilate another 7. Along the way, he gets the nickname Frankenstein, and not without good reason.
Detectives working on the case were appalled by the hideous nature of the crimes.
Jak on to cytował, tak tłukłem, aż usłyszałem chrupot łamanej czaszki. Potwornie działał.
What kept the police off the scent was Kinahawa led a double life. To the outside world, he appeared a happily married man, a father of 2 who worked down the mines. But for all of that time, he was also stalking and attacking women, sordidly abusing their bodies after killing them.
I hated women. It was so easy to disrespect a woman's dignity. After death, she's just meat and bones.
In 1982, his reign of terror is brought to an end when, in a fit of rage, Kinahawa kills his sister-in-law. What the police didn't know when they first arrested him was that they had finally caught the man they'd been looking for, one of the most sadistic sexual killers in Poland. His gruesome trail of murder and misogyny was uncovered at last.
How did this intense hatred of women come about, and what turned him into Frankenstein, a serial killer who butchered and despoiled women? Well, to understand this, we have to look at his childhood here in Bytom and the poisonous relationship he had with the 2 most important women in his life, his grandmother and his mother. Joachim Kinahawa was born on September 8, 1952, here in Bytom, an industrial region of Poland famous for its coal mining. His father, Victor, was Polish and his mother, Anna, was German. Both families disapproved of the relationship and very soon cracks began to appear. Victor walked out of the family when Joachim was just 2 years of age, leaving Anna to fend for herself alone in a foreign country.
W ogóle z nim nie rozmawiała. On był trochę samotnikiem, znaczy trochę bardzo samotnym człowiekiem, młodym samotnym człowiekiem, który nie miał żadnego oparcia.
The absence of one parent is not half as damaging as having a parent who is there, but is devoid of love and affection and attention for that child.
Kinahawa's mother worked long hours, leaving him in the care of his bitter grandmother. She also showed no love, neither for the young Kinahawa or her own daughter, holding both in contempt.
I was surprised that my mother agreed for Grandma to live with us. Grandma never liked my mother and never respected her. It upset me at the time, but I couldn't do anything, as nobody cared what I had to say.
Nim generalnie zajmowała się tylko babcia. Babcia była jego matką, opiekunką i tak dalej. No i babcia prowadziła zimny wychów.
His grandmother was full of the biles and irritations of life, including the very fact that this part of Poland had been annexed from Germany after the war. She never forgave her own daughter for marrying an alcoholic Pole who would then abandon the family when Joachim was just age two. And she often took her frustrations out on the young child.
No była jeszcze głęboko sfrustrowana tym, że jej córce tak się nie ułożyło życie. I to życie się nie ułożyło przez Polaka. W związku z czym swoją złość wyładowywała na Joachimie, nazywając go polskim bękartem.
Kinahawa was subject to cruel treatment by his grandmother, who took punishment to a whole new level.
Babcia Joachima była osobą bardzo okrutną. Po prostu znęcała się nad nim fizycznie i psychicznie. Fizycznie to biła go pogrzebaczem, jego zdaniem go katowała. Także starała się go tak, powiedzmy sobie, łamać mu godność.
Joachim's grandmother was cruel. There's no other word for her. She was callous and cruel in her treatment of him. And that cruelty, it would have been for him a lesson, if you like, in if somebody is bad, unworthy, it's okay to punish them.
I was beaten and punished for anything, even small things. Grandma used a coal shovel to beat me, and on a few occasions when Mother came back from work, she smacked me with a belt too, as Grandma lied to her about my behaviour. The anger boiled inside me, but there was nothing I could have done.
The sadistic punishment dealt by his grandmother and mother would slowly begin to distort young Kinahawa's mind.
As a child, he learns that violence is the way to deal with problems and that it is an unjust and unfair world. This creates all sorts of problems for him going forward as an adult because his priorities and his values about interpersonal relationships and the currency of violence and aggression are completely skewed from what society sees as normal.
Achim opowiada takie zdarzenie, między innymi, że gdy któregoś dnia wrócił ze szkoły, spóźniony, no nie dostał obiadu. Siedział, patrzył, babcia jadła w tym czasie cukierki i pączki. Przyglądała mu się tak z taką sadystyczną przyjemnością. On po prostu był zwyczajnie głodny. Chciał zjeść. Więc takie też metody stosowała właśnie babcia wobec niego.
The kind of psychological torture and manipulation that his grandmother was visiting upon him, not giving any responses to when he was good, but being overly zealous when he was bad. This kind of inconsistency in caregiving can be really, really damaging for a child.
And even when his mother was home, there would be precious little maternal support.
No, on chciał się poskarżyć matce, jak wieczorem matka wróciła z pracy, czy ewentualnie skądś tam, ale nie znajdował u matki jakiegoś posłuchu, czy sympatii. Matka wierzyła we wszystko babci.
We know that children don't just need mechanical care. It's not good enough just to feed them and clothe them. They need affection. He would have been left with his emotional needs not being met. And when somebody's emotional needs are not met at that very, very early stage, they assume that actually their need is never going to be met and they turn inward on themselves.
As a child, I observed lives of other children and compared to mine, and I could already see the injustice.
Kinahawa's early days were unpleasant and made all the more difficult by his grandmother and mother. But could those early childhood experiences really have been sufficient to set the tone for his attitude to women for the rest of his life?
It's really quite extraordinary, the role of the grandmother in Kinahawa's childhood. It's something out of a Grimm's fairy tale. You can imagine the anger that he must have felt towards this really oppressive figure. And of course, whenever he complained to his mother, you know, she never believed him.
He must have been really frustrated, mustn't he? Because he's an only child. His mum's out at work, you know, trying to provide for him. And he's going to his mother, telling his mother what's been happening, and she's not believing him. So, really frustrated.
Exactly. Grandmother, she just wanted to humiliate him. She was a really cruel person.
And it seemed to be quite systematic. This is the kind of thing that would happen on an everyday basis.
Other kids, they were laughing at him. He really hated her. And he started to dream about killing her.
His family were quite different from the families around him in the local community, weren't they?
Exactly, and his mother was German, and it was just after the Second World War. So this was like the other reason that children laughed at him.
I think what compounds this particular case is that he was an only child, so there were no siblings with whom to identify and to form alliances. He really was the victim of his mother and his grandmother.
He was born in the wrong time, in the wrong place, in the wrong family.
Yeah. You've got not only the individual psychological factors that are going on with the relationship with the mother and the grandmother, but you've got those social institutional factors as well. But I think there was just so much toxic stuff going on within that family that it was only going to get worse for him, wasn't it?
Coming up, the key event that triggers Kinahawa's hatred of women and sets the pattern for his future murders.
To him, the rapes and the murders are entirely justified because he was punished for something he believes he didn't do.
Kinahawa came from a poor, broken family in an industrial region in southern Poland. His dad walked out when he was just 2 years of age, forcing his mother to work long hours to make ends meet. The young Kinahawa was left at home with his despotic grandmother. It wasn't just his home environment with his cold mother and cruel grandmother that was devoid of happiness. Outside the house, he was bullied by the local kids. Born to a German woman, he was despised by other Polish children.
Joachim był nazywany przez pochodzenie po matce Szwabem. I te konotacje niemieckie były bardzo negatywnie oceniane i widziane. Więc jego to bardzo bolało.
Kinahawa nie bawił się razem z nami. Nigdy się z nikim nie zaprzyjaźnił. Nigdy nie miał takiego przykładowo stałego kolegi. Nie miał jakichś takich stałych przyjaciół. Był raczej takim odludkiem.
He would have been ostracized by his Polish schoolmates, but also he was punished for being Polish by his German grandmother. So he would have believed himself to be different, separate from other people. And that could have been the seeds of his emotional detachment.
Friction with his classmates and violence at home were the brutal lessons imprinted upon him.
Dosyć szybko pojął taką do naukę, że należy w życiu walczyć, bić się, gryźć. Odpowiadać złem na zło, a jak ktoś go zaczepił, to od razu się brał do bicia.
By the age of 13, Kinahawa was getting into more and more fights. His behavior impressed a group of older delinquent boys at school, and he soon became part of their gang.
Gdzieś w siódmej klasie to było, pojawili się chłopcy starsi, tak zwane przerosty, i on przystał do ich paczki. No to byli chuligani, łobuzy, prawda? Achim do nich ciągnął, chciał w ogóle im zaimponować. Odkrył też jakąś taką satysfakcję z tego, że potrafi się bić. Mówił, że go podniecało, jak puścił komuś farbę z nosa. Być może wtedy już w nim narastała jakaś taka miłość, chęć do krwi.
So in his teenage years, Nihawa starts to become more physical and more aggressive. I'm sure there would be some elements of projection here, living out the frustrations he must have had as a small boy, and now he's gaining pleasure from seeing what happens when he controls and dominates other people.
At 15, Kinahawa developed a lust for blood and for fighting. Is this the effect of years of abuse he suffered at the hands of his grandmother and mother, or simply the result of a damaged mind?
His mother and grandmother took a child, mistreated that child and abused that child to the point that they've created the hallmarks of a monster.
You know, here is he, suffering aggression at home, but he's beginning to change. He's no longer the isolated kid, age 7 and 8, because now he's seeking approval from his peers by joining gangs and becoming a bit physical.
Exactly. He wanted to impress the other people. The best way for that in Piekary Śląskie was to be strong. And he joined the gangs. He liked to fight.
And we see this a lot, this kind of behaviour in children who've experienced violence and abuse and neglect during their childhoods. Those feelings of shame translate into bravado and hypermasculinity.
Well, what signs are there at this stage where he's slowly developing this kind of superiority, maybe even resentment towards those people around him?
He wasn't true at all. He always played some roles. Even when he was like a fighter, it was more like a theatrical, like he saw a blood and he really wanted to hurt the person even stronger. But it wasn't him. I don't think like he was true in those actions.
As a young boy, he really dreamt of escaping this bleak industrial landscape to become a sailor or navigator. He really loved geography and history.
Po szkole podstawowej pójdzie do technikum żeglugi śródlądowej. Okazało się, że i to jest nierealne i matkę po prostu na to nie było stać.
Był na łasce i niełasce babki i mamy. Także nawet te jego marzenia musiał sobie schować gdzieś głęboko, głęboko w sercu. Oczywiście miało to żal.
Having failed to get into the prestigious nautical school, the disappointed Kinahawa is consigned to working in the local mines, like many of his contemporaries.
Yet again, we see another element of rejection entering his life. He's now been rejected almost by a state, by society itself. He's not good enough yet again to be involved with the mainstream. This is just constantly going to remind him that he is isolated and that he's very much alone and on his own.
I didn't get to sailing school. It was a failure, and it had a massive effect on my behaviour as a result.
There was another darker moment in his teens when Joachim first became interested in the opposite sex. His friends said he was shy, reserved, and introverted, but his very first sexual experiences were anything but.
When I was 14, I started to hang out with naughty kids, and I really enjoyed it. We started teasing girls and ripping their clothes off for fun. I once caught a girl in the forest and ripped her clothes off. She begged me not to, but I liked it.
Któregoś dnia sam spróbował, napadł na koleżankę z klasy w lesie, zdarł z niej odzież i odczuwał jakąś taką dziwną przyjemność, widząc jej błagania, prośby, żeby dał spokój.
He later on recalls that that was a process he enjoyed. He probably actually enjoyed the mastery and the control over a woman, which is a complete volte-face over what he's had throughout the rest of his life. He now is in a position of control and authority with women.
Kinahawa's actions were taking him down a dark road, but the troubled teen was soon to step seriously over the boundaries of normality with his friends. Joachim and his pals were drinking with a girl. After a few drinks, one of the lads took her down to the coal cellar.
Joachim stał tam na warcie. Pilnował, żeby im tam nikt nie przeszkadzał. Tymczasem starsza siostra tej dziewczyny zeszła do piwnicy po węgiel. Więc ta, ratując się w tej sytuacji, zaczęła krzyczeć, że ją gwałcą.
Kinahawa and his accomplices were charged with group rape. At trial, they were sentenced to 3 years in jail.
W ogóle ten temat dla niego był absurdem, bo on uważał, że on nie brał udziału w żadnym gwałcie, że był tak jakby takim naocznym świadkiem. Wykazywał taką złość, miał złość do tej dziewczyny, jak ona śmiała tak kłamać i oskarżać o taki czyn jak gwałt.
So he claimed that he wasn't involved in the attempted rape when he was 18. And perhaps his telling of that lie is vitally important to him, his belief in that lie. To him, the rapes and the murders and the overkill that he engages in later on are entirely justified because he was punished for something he believes he didn't do.
But it was the reaction of his mother that would leave him seething with rage as he stewed away in prison. Not only did she not give him any comfort or support during the trial, but instead she gave all her support and comfort to the alleged victim.
to najbardziej pamięta nienawistne twarze ciotki i mamy, które krzyczały: zamknąć go do więzienia, morderca, bandyta. A własna matka tak wykrzykiwała w sądzie przeciwko niemu.
Joachim's mother, quite rightly, identified with the victim of his sexual assault. I think she probably felt guilty and wanted to repair some of the damage caused by her son. But in doing so, it just reinforces to him that women aren't to be trusted, that they're nasty creatures that stick together.
To więzienie było dla niego katuszą i było dla niego naprawdę wielką udręką. A że był ładnym chłopcem, to zajęli się nim starsi więźniowie. Recydywa się ucieszyła, gdy zobaczyła takiego chłopaka. Po prostu był wykorzystywany seksualnie w tym więzieniu i wymyślił sobie, że to wszystko przez kobiety.
Whilst protesting his innocence, clearly he's going to be aggrieved and incredibly embittered against the female who he sees put him there, and this is where we will see his offending now take off. He's a revenged motive attacker.
3 years in jail must have felt like a lifetime for a kid of his tender years, particularly when he felt he was wrongly convicted and that the punishment was completely unfair.
It lit the hatred inside of me. When I got out, I wanted to get revenge on women. This hatred was against all women.
I think part of the reason why he gets convicted and dragged into this as some co-conspirator is because he is of low social status, his low social standing, and of his German heritage. And all this would isolate and make him more vulnerable, even in front of the law.
And it's just this complete failure to have a normal relationship with someone of the opposite gender. So he'd had a terrible relationship with his grandmother, a bad relationship with his mother. His first real kind of interaction with a girl of his own age is in this violent group context. So there's nothing really that's very normal there at all, is there?
And I think he loved humiliation. The thing that he did when he was like a teenager, he took the girls' clothes just to see them naked in front of the people. He liked that feeling.
That kind of vicarious pleasure he got in that, that was a window into his future crimes.
And also he like, I think he enjoyed to see the blood. He enjoyed to see people who suffer. I think it was like only one thing important to him, self-satisfaction.
How did his mother and grandmother feel about his failure to get into nautical school?
I think this was like the biggest failure in his life. He didn't want to be a minor, and then he had to. And I think that isolated him from other people even in a stronger way.
So then later when he was come out of prison, Liz, he was to project all that animus, that hatred, onto other women.
Well, this was pressure cooker, wasn't it? You know, this period in prison in which he's got all of this resentment towards his grandmother and towards his mother. And you know, the person that's been involved in him being convicted is another woman. So it is interesting, isn't it? Because you think, well, here's somebody who has the capacity for violence. So why is he not following that violence through? I don't think he's fully formed and developed yet. I think that period in prison is quite instrumental in moulding him into what he became.
Coming up, marriage and murder. Kinihawa starts a family and sets out on a mission of misogyny and slaughter.
He needed to have some female in his life that could reassure him that not all women are bad.
Kinihawa's childhood was miserable. He was ignored by his mother and tormented by his grandmother. Outside the home, it wasn't much better. He hung out with dropouts, constantly fought with classmates, and never had a normal relationship with other girls. His inability to relate to the opposite sex in an ordinary way culminated in an 18-month stint in jail for attempted rape. It was here where Joachim's bitterness towards women festered, even more so after his release.
Ten pobyt w zakładzie karnym właściwie wiązał się z tym narastaniem agresji wobec kobiet, tym przeżuwaniem swojej takiej goryczy, że jest ofiarą kobiet.
After leaving prison, he would get his first job at the Andalusia mine. It would be his first experience of real adult relationships. And there he would meet Helena. She would be the only true love of his life. Shortly afterwards, they would marry.
To była pierwsza dziewczyna, która go potraktowała tak ciepło. potrafiła go słuchać, wysłuchiwać, stwarzała mu takie ciepło, taką opiekuńczość, pocieszała go, wierzyła w niego, no i chyba naprawdę się zakochał w nim.
In my life I've had to face brutality, but only my wife gave me what I was always looking for in family and home, with my grandmother, my mother. All the goodness I had in my life, I owe to my wife.
His wife, Aline, was actually a replacement, a mother substitute. After all, his mother had recently abandoned him and shown favor to someone else. Perhaps he needed to have some female in his life that could reassure him that not all women are bad.
However, the marriage was also part of his twisted plan to take revenge on women.
The couple settled here in the small town of Pekary Szlączka, and for a while at least, it appeared as if he'd achieved some degree of stability. Certainly, he seemed to have felt comfortable enough to start a young family with Helena. But the domesticity wouldn't last. Already, he was preparing for life as a killer.
I was often getting upset when I thought back about the prison, and I promised myself that one day somebody will pay for it, and I've been preparing myself for that. But this promise was so strong that even meeting my wife couldn't stop it.
Joachim has generalized those feelings of hatred and humiliation to all women. And what he wants to do is he wants to obliterate all women from the face of the earth, apart from his wife, of course, because she's perfect.
In fact, his very first attack is carried out just 1 month after the wedding. And from that moment on, Kinahawa starts to lead a warped double life. He's now on the way to becoming Frankenstein.
Ataku Achim Knychała dokonuje na trzecim piętrze, uderzając ją w tył głowy młotkiem. Zaczęła przeraźliwie krzyczeć i Achim Knychała zbiegł, wystraszył się i uciekł.
I attacked her on the staircase, but due to stress, I messed everything up that I planned before. The attempt was unsuccessful because of the tool I'd chosen.
Following this first aborted attack, he then spends a year preparing and psyching himself up for another assault, getting to know escape routes and choosing the perfect weapon.
What could be better for killing than an axe, which is found in every house and every cellar?
Kinahawa finally puts his sick preparations into action when a woman approaches him on the street.
Looking at his MO, it's got clear parallels with his childhood. When he was beaten, when he was abused, when he was put down, it was always very quickly done, very aggressively done, almost very surgically applied to him by his grandma.
But Kinahawa's attacks would take a darker turn. He would despoil the unconscious bodies of his victims before leaving them to die.
I had intercourse with my victims when there was no longer a spark in their eyes, only a warm body. That way I could feel the pleasure of revenge and sexual satisfaction.
He covers the face of his victim and then he usually masturbates over the body. What he's doing is he's sending a very clear message. I regard you as worthless. I want to humiliate you in the same way that I was humiliated by my grandmother. I want to avenge that.
Within a month of saying I do, he committed his first attack. Was marriage just a convenient cover, or could he simply not help himself?
It seems to me that he was developing this schizophrenic sense of control, where he could present, you know, one face to the world as a happily married, kind of functional minor, and this other secret killer and sexual deviant.
I mean, when you look at it superficially, it doesn't make a lot of sense. He's performing the role of a good man, which enables him to develop a cover for what he later goes on to do.
So the role of Helena in all of this seems really curious, because on one level he's presenting her as a dispassionate kind of relationship he has with her, but is his relationship with her significant at this stage?
He presented all women except Helena, except his wife, as sinners.
When we look at her for what she actually was, she was a prop that helped him perform the role of a good husband. So she was simply there to act as this perfect Madonna figure.
I think he desperately needed to see his wife as this person without a sin. But then I think he thought that he just didn't deserve it. So he started to escape to those other women. and he wanted to have the sexual relationship with the dead woman.
At 22, Kinahawa has committed his first murder. His preparations for the perfect crime have paid off. And as his confidence grows, so does the brazen nature of his attacks.
Naprzeciw komisariatu policji atakuje kobietę na pierwszym piętrze. Zadaje jej cios, kiedy ona próbuje otworzyć drzwi.
Po prostu pomyślał sobie, ale wam pokażę teraz, prawda? Zabiję wam pod nosem i wy będziecie szukać, biegać, a ja będę wielki, prawda?
With each assault, Kinahawa grows bolder. Soon he is striking at women in the open and during the day, risking everything, toying with the police.
Uzyskałem informację, że pewna dziewczyna w piekarach śląskich została zaatakowana. No i opowiedziała mi o ataku, jaki ona przeżyła. Jednocześnie powiedziała mi, że tego mężczyznę widziała w kawiarni. Pod koniec miesiąca Joachim Kinahawa został zatrzymany.
But Kinahawa had the perfect cover story. Every time, he had an alibi. As a minor, he was able to clock into work, even when he was absent from the coalface.
Także on teoretycznie był na dole w kopalni. Prawie że w każdym przypadku tych zabójstw Joachim był w pracy. 600 metrów pod ziemią.
To jest tak trochę przypominał znaną postać w literaturze europejskiej, dr Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Dużo ludzi go znało tylko z jednej strony, a ta druga strona się ujawniała tylko w tych jego czynach.
It must be difficult to understand my behavior, because on one hand I declared war on women, and on the other I started a family. I've got a wife, kids, female colleagues. I'm simply a man with two faces.
One of the interesting things about Nihawa is how he is able to compartmentalize his killing away from his family life and away from his work life. And we often see that many of the most prolific and longest offending serial sexual murderers are those who are very good at living their lives in little boxed off compartments in isolation from other elements of their lives.
By the summer of 79, Kinahawa had killed and raped three young women and carried out almost a dozen vicious attacks in the region. But in 1979, his MO changed. The police found two new victims, neither of whom were even in their teens. One was murdered, the other did manage to escape though.
Dwie dziewczynki, 10 czy 11-letnia Halinka i Kasia, wyjechały sobie na rowerkach, zabierając słoiczki na jagody do lasu.
I wanted to get rid of them, so I told them to look for berries somewhere else. But one of them replied, "It's none of your shitty business." My reaction was immediate.
Zaatakował jedną dziewczynkę, najpierw Kasię, zadając jej cios siekierą, osunęła się na ziemię. Druga dziewczynka, Halinka, zaczęła uciekać, krzycząc. Puścił się za nią pędem, dopadł ją na tej ścieżce, zadał kilka ciosów, następnie je obnaża i manipuluje w rejonie narządu wrodnego.
Joachim is going out with the expressed intention of getting a victim. He's got a script for what is going to happen. And in actual fact, he meets two girls who are outside of his normal victim profile. But they say something to him that causes him to feel humiliated. And that is all the trigger that he needs in his already highly aroused state to bash them with his axe. How dare these females, young females at that, humiliate me?
The victims were certainly younger than any of his previous prey, but there was a common thread with his other assaults. Signature clues in his sexual behavior towards the bodies. And in a moment of rare self-reflection, Kinahawa himself was upset at his own actions.
When I played with my daughter after the murder, I felt the worst, thinking about those girls. I wanted to murder all women, not kids, but with one stupid word and my reaction, I became a child murderer.
The attack on the two young girls certainly seemed to have had an impact on Kinahawa's state of mind.
Perhaps there's an opportunity, Liz, that, you know, while He didn't want to appear to be a child killer. You know, in essence, he just took the opportunity as it presented himself and then tried to blame the girl for being rude.
Now, this is quite bad for him in terms of impression management. He's not finished the job. One of them has survived. And that imposes a bit of a label on him. So he's not this kind of super serial killer of women that he set out to be. He's now a child killer, and that's quite damaging for his reputation.
Having walked the paths from where he snatched the women and kidnapped them and took them away to attack them, I mean, they were reasonably well built up areas. Inevitably, there was always going to be a very high risk that he would be caught.
He was stopped by police officers, but he always was like so confident and he had a good alibi. Then he planned another murder, and this was a fun for him. And I think he was really proud of himself.
And now he's escalated to playing with the police and teasing everybody and saying, you can catch me, you can't, and developing his alibi. So he's quite a sophisticated operator at this stage.
It is classic textbook psychopathic behaviour, isn't it? It's pulling people's strings, it's playing with them and messing with them. And they'll learn what responses they need to give when somebody questions them, when somebody, you know, brings them to account.
Coming up, the killing stops. Kinihawa takes a 3-year break from his murderous crusade.
I was very stressed, and I understood that every murderer was eventually caught by his conscience.
By the late 1970s, Joachim Kinihawa managed to arrange his double life in near perfect harmony. The devoted husband and the ruthless killer. But after attacking 2 young girls, his murderous campaign comes to a halt for the next 3 years.
Po ataku na dziewczynki przeżywał stres. Patrząc na swoje dzieci, ponieważ widział w tych dzieciach te dzieciaki, które napadł.
After this murder, I couldn't sleep at night. I looked at my daughter and I could imagine what the fathers of these girls went through. I was very stressed and I understood that every murderer was eventually caught by his conscience.
Czasu bał się, że on przez sen coś powie i dlatego prawie, że nie sypiał. Bał się, że żona, śpiąc z żoną, usłyszy jakieś słowo, które mu się wyrwie tak nieopatrznie.
A sense of remorse and guilt is not what you'd expect from a serial killer, but his divided life between domesticity and murder was beginning to unravel. So he decides to devote the next couple of years to his family and his home life.
Wtedy się również wystraszył. W ogóle też zaprzestał działalności przestępczej. Mało tego, podejmuje naukę w szkole wieczorowej, zapisuje się do partii, kupuje ogródek działkowy, jakieś tam króliki i staje się jeszcze bardziej opiekuńczy ojcem i mężem, poświęca się rodzinie, czyta książki.
But there's another reason he puts a break on his homicidal activities. He starts an affair with his own wife's sister.
My wife wasn't enough. I needed more. I cheated with my friends' wives. I was interested in what it would be like to be with another woman and how they would physically differ. So it also happened with my sister-in-law. I had an affair with Bogusława in October 1979.
Miała 17 lat. To jest dziewczyna, która chodziła do szkoły specjalnej. Była troszeczkę opóźniona. No i stała się później dla niego trochę kłopotliwa, ponieważ chciała, żeby się rozwiódł, żeby był z nią. Chciała się przyznać swojej siostrze, że od prawie 3 lat współżyje z Achimem. Achim się wystraszył i bardzo ją prosił, żeby nic nie mówiła jego żonie.
The threat of exposure and the potential destruction of this perfect family life forces Kinihawa to take action.
I sądzę, że on ją zabił, nie zabił jej z premedytacją. Bo poszli na działkę, jakieś tam roboty, powiedzmy sobie, polowe wykonać. On niósł kilof taki na ramieniu i uderzył ją tym kilofem, kiedy szła przed nim. Być może był to jakiś taki zwierzęcy impuls.
I think the killing of his sister-in-law when she was about to tell his wife about their affair says an awful lot to us about him. He's an individual who throughout his childhood and early adulthood learned that violence is the solution to a problem, and it's a quick solution that you can often get away with. And I think here, when he'd learned that his mistress was going to break open the affair to his wife, he went back to type. Kill first, think later.
No, przybiegł do domu, powiedział, że Bogusi coś się stało, że upadła, uderzyła się głową tam, o coś wystającego z tej hałdy i że on nie wie, co się dzieje, bo ona jest nieprzytomna, harczy, no i żeby wezwać pogotowie. Jak przyjechało pogotowie, stwierdzono zgon. Te okoliczności, które on podał, wydawały się widocznie tej ekipie medycznej wiarygodne.
But it would be Kinahawa's twisted lust that would prove to be his undoing. Before reporting the crime, he would defile the body of his ex-lover one last time.
Te zwłoki było widać, że były obnażane i również była manipulacja w rejonie narządów wrodnych.
Kinahawa was already a suspect for many of the other attacks on women in the area over the years. But the police had never been able to pin any crimes on him. Now, he'd struck far too close to home. He was arrested when his story simply didn't match the evidence. But he would still prove tough under interrogation.
Jak wchodziłem do tej celi, na przykład o 8 rano, kończyłem o 18 albo później. Wiedziałem, że muszę go złamać psychicznie. Czułem, że to on.
Unable to break Kinahawa, the police had to rely on a new piece of technology. The lie detector or polygraph.
On reagował bardzo, bardzo mocno na pytania krytyczne, także ja nie miałem wątpliwości, że on jest sprawcą zabójstwa tej swojej szwagierki.
Natomiast po badaniach ja Achimowi powiedziałem: Achim, mnie możesz oszukać, ale tego urządzenia nie. Tej maszynki nie oszukasz. To jesteś ty. Ty zabiłeś Bogusię. I po tych kilku godzinach dopiero Joachim przyznaje się do zabójstwa Bogusławy.
It was when the police discovered trophy items he'd kept from his other victims, they realized that Kinahawa was no ordinary murderer. He eventually confesses to 5 murders and 7 other sex attacks. Whilst in police custody, he is visited by his wife.
Nie chcę się w to wierzyć, po prostu nie chcę mi się w to wierzyć. I dzieci mieliśmy przecież. Przecież żadnej wpadki Achim nie było. Siekierką! Dzieci żeś też zabijał. No ale do domu jaki wszedłeś, że nie zauważyłam, Achim. To ci chłopie dostaniesz karę śmierci, no bo ja bym sama za tym była, Achim.
W tym słowie to już dzisiaj mogę powiedzieć, że będą karę śmierci dla siebie. Żyć, no, żyć bym chciał, ale nie po tym wszystkim, co zrobiłem.
By asking for the death penalty, Niehauer is probably trying to elicit the last bit of control over authorities and in his own life that he can. He clearly knows he's highly unlikely to be freed after what he's done. And to be honest, a life in prison without killing is probably no life at all for him. This is an individual who, for him, has tasted the exotic highs of murder and visceral death.
I always wanted to be the best in everything. I achieved it after a few years, as today I am regarded as the biggest murderer in Polish history since the war. I've always strived to have the word murderer associated with my name.
Kinahawa achieved his ambition, but tragically it took the murder of his sister-in-law for his name to become notorious. This Frankenstein was a complex individual who held down a relationship with a wife he claimed to love and had children he claimed to cherish. But in parallel, he also raped, tortured, and murdered women. It's a very crude murder, the murder of his wife's sister who he's having a relationship. It nearly seems like he's inviting, you know, capture.
He didn't plan that at all, and I think he knew that he might be caught for that because the victim was very close to him, and she led police to Joachim Knechała.
Well, he's trying to limit the potential damage that she could cause because he's been sailing really close to the wind on this one. He's been pushing the boundaries. So now he's confronted with this situation and he's just got to do what he can do in the moment. And it's a bit of a mess that he can't clear up.
But it was quite extraordinary. As you can never, of course, become a famous serial killer unless you become known. That it looks like he did kind of invite the capture, the arrest, and the conviction for that particular murder.
He wanted to help police just because he wanted to get a death penalty. He wanted to die young in all his glory. He imagined himself as this murderer who will never spend all his life in prison.
I think the reason he got caught was because he got sloppy and because he got careless and because he was unable to manage that situation with his sister-in-law. I think possibly he would have gone on to commit more murders, you know, the type of murders that he wanted to be known for.
Joachim Kinnehauer was finally hung for his crimes in 1985. He was one of the last people to be legally executed in Poland under the death penalty.